The following podcast contains strong language as well as substantial sexual and adult content. Listener discretion is advised, as well as not sucking at life.
Today on a very exciting episode of Browser History.
It's like circumcision. You either go all the way or fucking forget it.
That tricky sperm.
No one on Jerry Springer is happy except for Jerry Springer.
You got a flat tire? Fuck you, Betsy DeVos.
Do whatever you want with it. And it'd have been like, okay, I'm gonna eat it.
They're horny teenagers. They're gonna fuck.
Is the Trump administration more hateful towards gays or Chinese people? What up, party people? Welcome to another episode of Browser History, the podcast that is all about what gets us off and what that says about us. I'm RJ Aguiar.
I'm Mike Bowers.
I'm Laura J.
And today's episode is all about one thing: educating the children.
The children.
The children.
Children.
It is safe to say that each of us has come a very long way from that first fateful day when we first asked, where do babies come from?
Look out for Mr. Stork.
But how exactly did we get from that to being able to declare proudly, that's right, I eat ass? Odds are that you didn't learn all of that from your awkward burrs and bees talk with your parents, and it's even less likely that you learned that from one of those excruciating sex ed classes that you got in school. You know, the ones that basically convinced you that you were going to get an STI just by masturbating too close to another human?
I mean, don't have sex. You
wrong,
will get
right?
Chlamydia and die. Now take these rubbers.
So where is it that most of us learn a lot of the tricks in our sexual toolbox? Odds are you learned at least some of them from those same videos you were secretly watching to satisfy your teenage hormonal urges. But if you think about it, porn is meant to be fantasy. So learning sex from porn is kind of like learning to drive by watching any of the dozen or so Fast and Furious movies. Do we think that's made a difference on how we do the deed in real life, or IRL as the kids say? We'll be diving into that for this week's power topic after This Week in Sex. But first, it's time for a word from our sponsors.
Single, dating, married, reason divorcee. Whatever your status, there's one thing we all have in common. We all laugh at the motorcyclist walking into 7-Eleven while still wearing a helmet. Celebrate our likeness today by laughing at the dumb-looking fuck who just wanted to stay safe.
Seriously, like, anyone wearing a helmet? Like, that isn't it using it at the moment, like, for safety? Like, on two wheels? That looks fucking hilarious.
Don't you just love our sponsors? Anywho, with that out of the way, with the bills paid, it's time to tackle what naughtiness has been making its way into the news. It's This Week in Sex. And today's topic comes to us from one of Mike and my favorite apps.
It's the best app in the world. No, it's not at all.
No.
It's Grindr, everyone.
The one that you delete every 3 months and then re-download after another 2 weeks or so.
Oh, you last 2 weeks. Impressive.
I just always thought that Grindr was a better title for, like, baristas trying to find each other. Like, not even for sex. Just
I mean,
to, like,
have you seen how many
other
baristas are gay? I think that.
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe also, it's, yeah. Maybe it's how it started.
I've been watching, I've been catching up on How to Get Away with Murder, and they have an app on that show called Humper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, that's actually
much
a better.
I like it.
That's more accurate.
Anywho,
there's a couple of stories about Grindr right now. So one is that apparently it's a national security risk.
U.S. The Department of Homeland Security has marked Grindr a threat, a security threat. I guess because there are too many national security operatives that are on Grindr.
Oh, wow.
And they, you know, loose lips sink ships, apparently.
Oh. I mean, I have literally hooked up with Russians on Grindr. So.
Oh, my God.
Did you give away any of our most intimate national secrets?
I mean, we didn't do a lot of talking.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't think the Trump administration realizes what goes on Grindr. It's not very substantive conversation that's taking place on there. But, I mean, do we think that there is any legitimate national security threat to be had on Grindr? Or do we think this is just another sort of veiled Trump administration, let's see how much we can fuck with my, like, marginalized people thing?
I feel like Trump and his administration aren't smart enough to do that.
Really?
Like, it's just a weird story, and I feel like it's almost more of a technological story than it is a gay one.
What do you mean? Okay,
yeah,
wait.
Yeah,
because,
like,
it's an app.
Mm-hmm.
You can presumably use any app to try to get state secrets?
What? I don't, I mean, yeah. What?
Was it, yeah, I mean, was it, oh, well, no. I guess I'm thinking, like, DoorDash, like, I just canceled my DoorDash account because I looked back and, like, they had an order from 2016 that, like, I could see still.
DoorDash
and
existed in 2016?
Exactly. Oh, and I was like, okay, I don't like that you have any information, like, that I rarely use your app.
Oh, but they always
so.
Keep it. Like, I feel like anything that you do in any app, like, they're going to store it.
Storeless information. It creeps me out. I was like, I'm not doing this shit no more.
And I know,
I'm
going to
go pick up all my food.
Well, and I know that Grindr got into trouble because they, because of a security breach, then a lot of people's HIV statuses were,
it's not the first time that they've been scandalized.
So we do think then that there might be some legitimate security concerns.
Yeah, but is it only Grindr that's been targeted?
Only Grindr.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, I see. Targeted by, quote unquote, the government.
Right,
I was
right.
like, targeted by hackers? No.
Yeah, I was like, no. Yeah.
What?
That would be
Uber's
dumb.
Uber's been
go
hacked. Like,
yeah.
There's lots of apps that have been
but
hacked for
Uber
personal
hasn't,
information.
Uber hasn't been established as a crisis.
Well, you know what? The
security
other,
risk.
Well, it's because Grindr is also owned by a Chinese-owned company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so they're majority owned by a Chinese company. So
okay.
That's the other part of it. Is like, is the Trump administration more hateful towards gays or Chinese people?
I think it's a you know, kill two birds with one stone thing. They're like, well, here we go. We get two people.
Yeah.
Two people we
I
don't
mean,
like.
And that's not the only Grindr story in the news right now. There's also the fact that I think it was in Texas that there was a guy who. Or a couple guys who are luring
right
people to their houses to their house off of Grindr and then beating them up.
Okay, I feel like the minute that I opened Grindr and kind of saw what it was, I knew that this was going to happen at some point. Like, you knew this was coming.
But I'm also like, there are definitely times that I've been on Grindr and like I'm having a conversation with someone and we're talking about meeting and I go, something's not right about this.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm usually able to like get a sense, even though it's just over like a texting app,
and
basically.
And usually that's a catfish, though. You know, it never gets to that point. But it's like the first Uber rape. Like, you knew that it was coming. Like,
right.
Eventually that was that shoe was just going to drop.
Exactly.
Not that you want it to drop
no.
by any means.
Definitely not.
But you know, it's kind of like, oh, we're just putting random people or Airbnb spy cams. Like, you knew
right.
that story was, you're
yeah.
just waiting for that shoe to drop.
And then finally
it happens.
With every technological advancement, people are going to use it for good and bad.
Of course.
That's true.
Because, you know, technology always advances faster than our ability to be like, we're a science.
Yeah.
We're all about coulda, not necessarily shoulda.
I mean, hello, Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and the new Twilight Zone as well.
Which no one can access on CBS Access.
Yeah, like
my roommate has a login. So.
What are they
is
like
the
a
only
guild
one?
Member?
Because
no,
guild member? Yeah.
Who would pay for CBS? Who in the right? Anyways, sorry, we're going off topic.
Anyway,
but
yeah.
Anyway, if you do have access to CBS All Access, highly recommend The Twilight Zone. It's very good.
Oh, it's quite good. Okay, well,
it's Jordan Peele for Christ's sake. So
yeah. Okay, well. Getting back to Grindr, which is something I never thought I'd say in my life.
Let's turn away. Yeah.
That's a lie.
Let's turn away from Jordan Peele and get back on Grindr.
I don't say, let's go back to Grindr. I just kind of do it. And then I feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about the sex I have. I feel bad about being on the app.
No, yeah, there's that.
Anywho, but okay. So I mean, I guess we never really kind of adequately... to my liking, you know, address the question, like, is it more that they want to target gay people? Is it more that they're xenophobic against Chinese people? Like, what's the deal with the whole national security situation?
I think it's a little bit of both.
I think, yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to be like the conspiracy theorist that's like, this is what's, you know, they're just trying to get all of the gays out. It's crazy.
Not trying to get the gays out, but just basically trying to make life
harder. I mean, are we all trying
harder.
To get the gays out of the closet?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a weird situation because I feel like it's a perfect storm for the administration of being able to be discriminatory against multiple.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, ooh, it's like, the daily double.
I don't love personally our dependence on China. as a country.
Really?
But because we owe them so much money.
Okay, yeah, but they also owe us money. Anyway, I don't want to have to... It's a, that's the whole thing.
Global economics is a yeah, topic that...
That'll probably be its own podcast that no one really wants to listen to. Five people. That's a podcast for five people. Anywho, what do you think this means for the future of Grindr and apps like it? Like, is this something that we're gonna have to worry about with Tinder and with Bumble and whatever the other straight apps that they're trying to use?
Coffee meets bagel.
Oh my god, are you kidding? Like,
no,
I think
it's like a Pinterest. It's like, you know, I need a Pinterest name, but it's the same shit.
I do think it is a security. I think it is a security risk, but like up to like national level. I mean, I don't know, but I think that's across the board. So if they want to keep this act up, I don't think they're actually really that truly concerned. I don't think the Trump administration is truly that concerned about their secrets getting out through Grindr.
I don't know. There's some trade in that administration. Yeah. I can tell. Mother.
Actually, well, is Mike Pence on there yet?
God.
Like,
maybe that's why they're trying to.
No, he'll only go on Grindr if he's with his wife.
Yeah, that's the rules. If he's with Mother, he can go on Grindr for a little bit, so, and then he has to go straight to bed. Yeah, if he does all of his chores,
like a Norman Bates situation that never went that far.
If he does all of his chores first, then he can get 5 minutes of Grindr to swipe.
People don't swipe. Actually,
What is a Grindr? Yeah, do you don't swipe?
No.
Why
even
not?
Even people who have multiple photos, you have to tap to see the next photo. It's not a swiping situation.
Ew.
You can swipe, but it China it
get on this
swipe or no swiping.
Which I'm not on any of the other gay apps like.
Really?
Jacked or Scruff, so I don't know if those are more similar to Grindr or if they're more swipey.
Oh, well, they're more, a little bit more, they're not, none of them are swipey that I know of, and I'm on a couple of them. That was going to be my next thing is like, oh, if they're concerned about China, there's like plenty of other apps. Like there's Jacked, there's Scruff, there's Recon.
I mean, everything's out of China, isn't it?
But if they want to keep the act up that like, oh, this is such a security risk, yeah, they do need to go after Tinder, they do need to go after all these other dating apps, and, yeah, keep that up.
But maybe don't go after them because, like, then how are we going to find how are we going to get our you up message at 2 a.m.?
I know. I'd be so
For
sad.
For real, though. Some of us only get laid because of Grindr.
Yeah, well, I got kicked off Tinder, so I have nothing
left. Yeah, we've been through.
It's my only thing.
But what about Bumble? And
I don't want to have to talk to people.
You just want it to show up at your door?
Yeah, I'd rather just, like
a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather fuck the pizza delivery guy than fuck some random tender like that. I have to read a bio that's like, yeah, gym, tan, laundry. Yeah, let's go back to New Jersey.
Oh my god!
You know, it's straight tender is disgusting.
Straight
tender
the worst.
And then like gay tender for like lesbians is just like us not talking to each other and then talking to each other for a little bit and then being like, oh, I hated this app and getting off and not hooking up
and not getting off.
Yeah, and not getting off.
Okay. Well, that maybe explains why I put that I want to match with men and women on Tinder, and I've like 102 guys matched with 102 guys and two girls. Women in general, the minute that there's any sort of perceived queerness, they're like, oh, you're not sexual. I can't see you in any sort of sexual way.
I have experienced that with some of my straight girlfriends who are like, if I knew a guy was bi, I wouldn't be into it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The minute there's any same-sex attraction, they'd look at you like you're some sort of fucking Pomeranian or something.
Can I pet him?
One friend in particular was like, I already have to worry about other girls. I don't also want to have to worry about guys. And I was like,
oh my God, that's so
that's
gross.
That's
so gross.
Trust issue, honey.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm like,
that's
a
you
thing. That's a you thing.
And then who are you dating that's been so awful to you? That's
men,
sucks.
Straight men.
Yeah.
The answer is straight men.
Yeah, I was in an Uber with some of my really close friends, and they were, you know, bemoaning about like, oh man, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, and the Uber driver was just like, actually it was Lyft. I don't Uber. I don't know why I said Uber. But
because
the
it's
Lyft
like
driver
Kleenex
is kind of
becoming ubiquitous for what it is.
Yeah. But
I was binging the other day.
Yeah.
Go bing that. Yeah.
So I was binging the other day. Yeah. No one says that. but the driver was asking, like, just kind of like, well, who are you dating? Like, are they really like, and they were like, oh, I just keep dating douchebags. All of my friends just date douchebags. And then I just like slowly raised my hand, like, I don't. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. You don't.
You just don't date at all. You just
weird. No, but like even in the past when I was like dating like frequently, I just don't date douchebags. It's not an attraction for me.
It's any of him.
So now that we've tackled that, we're all set for some vigorous discussion in the power topic right after this.
Hi, I'm Laura J., one of the hosts of Browser History. It's the podcast you're listening to. Are you like me, struggling to orgasm to porn because you're a host of a porn podcast where you have to watch copious amounts of porn to make each episode? Then do I have the solution for you. Home Decor Instagram accounts. That's right. Home Decor Instagram accounts are your new go-to for, oh yes, oh my God, sweet Jesus. You'll be coming in no time to an ottoman, hardwood floors, patterned tiles, light fixtures, faucets, clawfoot tubs, and my personal favorite, drawer pulls. Just subscribe today. You'll come so hard you queef.
Drawer pulls, the only time that pulling out will get you off.
Welcome back. And now it's time to dive into a power topic that we've all been dying to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Porn as sex ed. And we're not talking about sex ed themed porn.
Yeah.
Because no. I was, yeah,
that
yeah.
is a thing.
It is totally.
But it's
a thing.
Not what we're talking about today.
No.
Well, I think educational fetish porn is, yeah, its own genre that we can get into at another time.
Oh, yes, teacher.
Yeah, hot for yeah. teacher. But no, this one specifically, we wanted to wait a little bit to find our rhythm before we got into this because it's not like a genre. Normally we talk about like genres of porn, but this is like a whole new other type of topic that, yeah, I mean,
that are more like, societal.
Absolutely.
To get the ball rolling, we can start with a few personal questions.
Okay.
So, RJ, yes. Laura, where did you first find out where babies come from?
It was my parents. It was my parents. Yeah, I got the first Birds and the Bees talk. Here's the thing.
Now, how old were you?
I first asked when I was like 4 or 5, and then mom like gives you know the sort of she didn't to her credit she didn't do a stork or anything like that. She was just like, oh well, it comes for she would say like uterus whatever, but it never really make it clear where they were.
Yep.
And so yeah, you know, you just assume it's in their stomach or their belly or mm-hmm. whatever the fuck. But then like it was around fourth grade where I'm like, no, like specifically where to like
how does this happen?
Yeah, and so, and my mom was one of those believers in that if you're old enough to ask, you're old enough to hear the answer.
True.
To her credit.
Oh, bless her.
I know.
That's really
not
great.
How my parents approached things.
No. So basically, yeah, by the time I hit like human growth and development, which was, they didn't even actually do, I don't think I ever got a proper sex ed in any of my schools, like none, like zero. It was more just like puberty based type stuff. Like this is what's going to happen to your body. And like, to like some of those videos were that old, like yeah. they were from the like 80s, I want to say. I don't think I got any formal sex ed in school. I only got stuff from my parents and I got stuff from church, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The appropriate place for sex ed is not in religion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's either, like, don't ever have sex or, like, orgies for the gods. Like,
yeah.
There's no middle ground.
And the orgies for the gods part is, you know, unfortunately, largely in the past. Like, there's not a whole lot of that.
We're probably
going to
go back around to it.
That's a religion I could get behind.
Right?
The witch if it's coming back.
Or in the middle of.
I would, yeah, exactly. I could go for a nice, like, Game of Thrones-ish type hedonistic orgy moment, but no.
I found out from a book, and it was a Jesus book.
Oh no!
It was one that my mom had gotten my sister when she was having like the discussion with like with my sister about like what is sex. My mom was very good about telling us what sex was. She is a nurse, so she told us all the parts and everything. But I was too young at the time, and I hadn't really asked because I just figured I could steal the book from my sister,
mm-hmm.
which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fabulous. There are fantastic pictures. If I can put, I'll upload them to the Instagram account because it's very nice.
Are you sure that's not going to get us like flagged?
No.
Okay.
It's so funny looking. It's usually like, it's like Adam and Eve looking children naked and Jesus standing like beside them like, oh, you know, it's great.
And you're talking about sex.
Talking about sex.
And they wonder why like a hunky Jesus is such a fetish.
And it literally says, you know, like when, you know, two men love, two
when two men love each other very much.
When two people love each other very much.
When a man and his 12 disciples love each other very much. A mother
and a father. I think it's like a mother and a father love each other very much. then his penis goes into her vagina. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Puzzle pieces. Yeah. But then I got 8 different sex talks growing up, but all of them ended in abstinence.
Oh my God.
And they were church related or some form of like some form of religious affiliation.
Yeah. I only ever got one sex talk and it was from, I was 12. It was a friend of my mother's.
Oh, so your mom didn't have the stomach to do it herself.
Oh, hell no. And my parents were divorced by that time. So it was, and it was never going to come from my dad. My dad, the first time I think my dad and I ever talked about sex was when I had a girlfriend and I had gotten in trouble for the two of us fooling around. And his response was, she let you get that far?
Oh my God.
Wow. Which wasn't even that far. Like,
how far are you going? Because I mean, clearly you have no interest, real.
I mean, I was 15 and the furthest we got was fingering. And apparently that far was impressive for a 15-year-old to my dad. Oh,
I mean, it's impressive if you know that it's a 15-year-old gay man. then it's very impressive. Well,
I mean, we won't go into this, but I had come out and then I went through a bi phase and then came out the other side again. So,
anywho, we're just gonna just scoot right past that.
But anyway, so when I was 12, a friend of my mom's gave me the talk, which... Mm-hmm. consist of showing me like a medical book because he was a nurse and he
a lot of nurses
and he like
they're saving everyone.
I don't know that he was in this instance. Like he it was very anatomical and the main takeaway that I got was that I wasn't supposed to call breast boobs.
Why that was your main takeaway?
That's because you're then sexualizing an organ or whatever that's like natural.
I can sexualize them and call them breasts.
I mean,
exquisite
you
breasts.
You can. That's the thing with words is that they can mean whatever you want them to mean.
I do stand firm that like my mom was really big on never calling like our genitals like TT or tutu or whatever because she was like, I'm not going to make your genitals cute. Those are your genitals and that's a vagina and your brother has a penis. Like that was.
I don't know that my mother has ever referred to genitalia, ever.
Yeah, that's so sad. I think it's sad. Does she know that she has a vagina?
Yes, she does, because I did catch her masturbating once.
Oh! So she knows something. Proud. Okay, I'm not as sad anymore. As I was like, if you can't even say the word, you're probably terrified.
Yeah.
No, but this is also a woman who like she had sex with, I'm spilling all the tea.
Oh my God, I love this.
She had sex with my stepdad before they were married.
And
felt the need to confess that to me because she was apologizing for sinning.
Oh my God.
Literally, as I was about to leave for the bus for school, I was 14. God. I did not want to know about my mother and my stepdad having sex.
Oh my God.
And they were married by this point. So
why did she think she needed to tell you? Does she think you're Jesus? Or
no,
like, what?
No. Mental illness is a thing.
Okay.
So, my God.
But it was a traumatizing moment for me as a child. Okay. As a 14-year-old.
So
that's how I learned about what
fuck.
Shit.
Okay, so then so none of us learned it from sex ed.
I mean, there was no formal sex ed in my school.
I didn't learn actual facts from sex ed, there was a health class.
Right. And it was all about like here's what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm. And mine was based in abstinence. Like most of the lessons were showing us, you know, late stages of STDs.
Right.
That were not helpful when I got chlamydia at all. Because I was like, this does not look like what I learned in sex ed. You know, there's nothing there. I just feel like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then specifically guilting me as a female to not do anything.
Of course. Ever,
and not go over lines, and also to set your boundaries early and set them low so that, like, so my boundary set in high
school. Boundaries low?
Yeah. So, like, my sexual boundary was just kissing and just making out, but I'd stop at heavy petting.
Oh, wow.
Which heavy petting.
Which is a loose term.
Yeah. It's a very, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, when I feel petted in sex now, I'm just like, could you not heavy pet me?
Like, either go all the way, it's like circumcision. You either go all the way or fucking forget it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I had
I love how they tell you, like, you set the one boundary, but when it comes to, like, consent for the rest, they're just like, you're on your own, honey.
Well, yeah, and exactly.
For me, the biggest thing that I took away from that health class was watching the Miracle of Life video. I don't know if anybody else has seen it.
I have not. But watch a birth, basically.
You literally watch a human coming out of a vagina, and if I wasn't gay before, like,
well, they show the, I can't remember what it's called, but the cut. They show cutting,
C-section.
No. Where you actually cut, like, the basically your taint, part of your taint, to part of, that sounds so southern, part of your taint to get the baby out. Yeah, I can't think of what it's called.
It's an actual,
yes, peritoneum. If the baby's head is bigger than the mom's vagina, yeah, you got to get it out somehow, and usually you get cut.
Okay. And then they have to sew it up.
Yeah.
Yep. Do we remember sort of roughly when we first got the birds and the bees? When did porn enter the mix? Like, how soon thereafter, or was it around the same time?
Mine was
HBO. A couple years.
Yeah, mine was a couple years because I think I was like 13 or 14 before I saw my first like softcore HBO porn.
I think it was real sex.
So I ended up watching a lot of educational porn, but not porn.
Real sex is not educational.
You're learning about culture. And I'm living in the woods off of a dirt road. So yes, that was educational for me. Real sex on HBO is big for me. I would try to know when it would come on TV, and we had an upstairs den. So I would like, if I like, I'd look for it in the TV guide and then know when it was going to come on, and then sneak in and like kind of, and then just like, I just like burrow myself by the TV and watch real sex.
Okay. Remember when you had to tune in at a certain time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember when that was a fucking thing?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Jesus.
I do.
And then also, Talk Sex with Sue Hansen, Johansson, something like that. It was on Oxygen. And it was this old, nasty old lady that used to talk about
it. Wasn't
sex.
Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
No.
Dr.
No.
Ruth? No.
Dr. Sue Johansson, I think. Yeah. I tried to find her and I couldn't figure it out. So.
No, Loveline was big for me.
Loveline was big for me too.
I was a teenager and not even just sex, just like romance in general was fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't listen to it anymore. I like tried listening to it a couple years ago.
Give the worst advice.
Horrible advice. They really
suck. Because Adam Carolla is qualified to be giving romance advice.
Even Dr. Drew, a lot of the times, it's just like, man, y'all are not listening to this person. And they just start giving them advice, and it's like, damn, y'all got egos.
I did have a little bit of a crush on Dr. Drew, though.
Oh, I did, too. I saw him at a catering event, and I was like, hi!
I went to a promo event for that, like, R-rated puppet movie, The Happy Time Murders. Dr. Drew was there.
Oh, okay.
And I was literally playing blackjack with a puppet dealer.
Right. That's amazing.
And
that's
Dr. Drew's there. Yeah, it was...
Ugh.
That was random. Anywho.
Yeah, okay. For me, porn entered the fray, as it were, I want to say around the same time.
Really? Okay.
But in a Googling pre-Google thing of like, naked woman.
Did you ask
naked
Jeeves?
Naked man. I absolutely asked Jeeves. Jeeves never let me down.
Okay, so then like when it comes to the stuff you do nowadays, like when it comes to your sort of now your bag of tricks sexually, how much of that came from porn, or did some of that come from other places?
I feel like my actual sex life, my actual sex practices have come from previous partners more than actually like learning anything from sex.
And I think most of
or
my,
learning anything from porn, I mean.
I think I know how to give a blowjob because of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I did not learn it from porn. I wasn't watching really. I wasn't really watching hard enough porn.
You can't watch porn and learn how to relax your throat.
Like. Exactly. Yeah, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, there's a whole scene with Phoebe Cates and, Jennifer Jason Leigh. And Phoebe Cates' character is teaching a very teenage-looking Jennifer Jason Leigh how to give a blowjob with a carrot and explaining how to do it. And I know that is how I know, because, like, the first time I gave a blowjob, I was like, this is exactly like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They were so right.
Okay. The first time that I gave a blowjob, it wasn't very big. It wasn't difficult.
The shade.
But, he left me with blue balls that day, so fuck him.
No, that's the problem.
Literally, I didn't. I blew him, but that was it. He was a straight boy.
They're the worst.
And so small. Yeah, me and my friends called him Fun Size for a while.
That's cute.
Yeah, I was a mean girl. Still am.
Yeah, I was like, it's like everyone went silent because we were like, when did that change?
Yeah.
Can I say that a big part of my sexual awakening before the internet, but after my sex ed, was Jerry Springer?
Yes!
I don't know if it was fighting or if it was just the matter, the content of it, but I always tuned in to try to see a titty. I didn't want to. But I was just like, just the fact that it could happen.
A blurred out titty.
Oh, and so, God. Like, I, as an 8-year-old, was just like, I knew it was bad, but I knew it was so good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think the best Jerry Springer episode, I know this is off topic, but there was this whole, like, wedding party that, like, It just kept growing. Then a number of chairs that were on the stage, because everybody had slept with everybody. Men, women, didn't matter. Like, the groom had slept with the maid of honor. He'd slept with his own best man. He'd slept, like, the only person who was, like, scandalized was the bride.
Really? Oh, my God. What was the bachelor party then? I guess they were all there.
Were they happy, though?
No one on Jerry Springer is happy except for Jerry Springer.
I was so sad. No, I'm trying to think of, like, in my own experience. Like, I do think most of the acts that I do in my day to day, like, I guess I saw for the first time in porn, but I didn't learn from porn necessarily.
That's fair.
But you
saw it before you did it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You at least kind of knew, like, what it could look like, and then, yeah.
Well, like, because I remember the first time I saw a rim job, I was appalled. I was just like, what is this?
I can't remember the first time I saw a rim job.
Well, no, and I'm like, why would anyone be into this? And then I did it for the first time, and I'm like, oh, okay. And now it's, like, my favorite thing.
No, rim jobs are everything.
They are. I
think I got most of my, like, or any, I got pleasure out of watching, like, independent films with hard, like, better porn situation, like a little more
like a Boys Don't Cry situation.
Yeah, like the good scene in Boys Don't Cry.
The one.
Sorry,
okay.
I immediately was thinking she literally has
to wipe her mouth off.
Yeah, I was like, that's traumatizing. And I was like, oh yeah, wait, there is a really good one.
I hate how so few people wipe their mouth off in movies. Anyways, it was Boys Don't Cry and it was Black Swan. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah. That's what got Boys Don't Cry the rating.
Not the rape scene, that wipe and showing that there was fluid. It was that. And then The Dreamers. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Creepy,
oh
disgusting,
God,
but
yes.
Oh my God, I watched it so much. And then also Cruel Intentions. Also creepy.
Hell yes,
disgusting. Cruel Intentions. Atonement. Yes.
Oh, that gets
pretty
rough.
That is the Beck's head. It gets rough but the sex scene is like 30 minutes in the library. It is the best sex scene ever. It's so good. I got a lot of that. Oh, that was nice.
There's not many queer versions of that. There's not many same-sex versions of that.
I mean, there's Brokeback.
Brokeback, all you know how to do is, like, really dry.
And there's,
like,
so much pain. Pain in their eyes.
Movie.
Yeah.
Modern day Sensate.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that.
Just, like, literally an orgy.
Yes. Well,
every season.
What was the fucking movie?
Ichimama Tambien has, like, a wonderful kiss anyway, but it's
no,
it's, like,
yeah, that's just it. Yeah, yeah. That's the one. Oh, Kill Your Darlings. That's the one. Kill Your Darlings is pretty good. The one with Daniel Radcliffe and Dane DeHaan.
Michael C. Hall?
Yes, it, yeah. Allen Ginsberg and all those.
Okay, I'm going to need to...
That one's pretty good.
So, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, all states are somehow involved in sex education for public school children, which, I'm going to be libertarian for a minute, keep the state out of my sex.
Do you think so? I don't know.
I don't want it.
Well, let's... Okay, well, we can get into this in a sec.
So 24 states and the District of Columbia require public schools to teach sex education, 21 of which mandate sex education and HIV education. 34 states and the District of Columbia require students to receive instruction about HIV and AIDS. 27 states and the District of Columbia mandate that when provided, sex and HIV education programs meet certain general requirements, which varies depending. 13 states require that the instruction be medically accurate.
Only, what?
Only 13.
Only 13.
That killed me.
20. God. I'm guessing those are on the coasts. 26 states and the District of Columbia require that the information be appropriate for the student's age.
Oh boy. How do you determine that?
8 states require that the program must provide instruction that is appropriate for a student's cultural background.
Okay.
And not be biased against any race, sex, or ethnicity.
Sure. It could go good or bad.
Yeah,
right? No. And 2 states prohibit the program from promoting religion.
Two
out of 27 that have even a mandate
even have a mandate. Jesus Christ.
I started trying to read that portion at a bar on Tuesday, and I was just like, I'm done. I can't.
Yeah, like I'm so depressed. Gross. Oh my God.
So when it comes to public education, surprise, surprise, it's not always the best at teaching you real world skills. Matter of fact, it seems like there are states out there where it's totally legal for them to teach you misleading or outright false information. States that don't have laws mandating sex ed still have formal guidelines for how and when it should be taught. But final decisions are most often left to individual school districts on what's actually taught. Also, according to Guttmacher. It's German. Yeah,
we haven't referenced him before, but he is the source of.
Well, it's a foundation. For the promotion of healthy sex.
That's where a lot of our research has come from.
Yeah, sweet.
Guttmacher.
Always trust the Germans.
The percentage of adolescents receiving formal instruction on birth control methods is declining, while the number who receive formal education about saying no to sex is increasing.
I go through this debate with my mom every now and then because she's, you know, religious and is very much a proponent of the abstinence only. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Okay.
And
did you have to do True Love Waits?
No,
that was a club. That was like an optional club.
Yeah,
in no, my high school. Thank God.
We thankfully, like, our youth pastor, like, was thankfully did not want to do True Love Waits. Okay. Because he thought it really shamed people. And I was like, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh my, wow. He's a very liberal pastor.
He's fairly liberal. He was trying, and I think hopefully he's still trying. and hasn't been sucked down the rabbit hole of Arkansan death. But
like, yeah, my mom and I have had that debate where it's like, people are going to have sex regardless whether or not you tell them not to. Because of hormones.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's
science.
Like, just because society and laws say that you have to wait till you're 18 does not mean, like, nature's like, 14, 15, yeah, let's do this.
Like, 18 is an arbitrary age anyway.
It's
universally accepted.
We need they put a line in because we need a line.
Yeah.
Yeah, we by 14, you know everything. Like, you know. I mean, like...
Well, especially with an internet connection, which we'll get into that in a sec.
Especially boys, like, I think boys are given any form of talk so much less. A little bit because everyone feels uncomfortable trying to approach the subject and all of that bullshit. But by the time my mom started talking to my brother or tried to give my brother the talk because we were twins, you know, she was talking to my uncle about it before of like, what the hell am I going to tell him? Like, what do I need to do? And he was like, honestly,
don't rape people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he was
my God.
Yeah. He was like, honestly, first off, just see if he has any questions because I guarantee he knows it. And my mom was like, all right, whatever. I don't believe you, but okay. So my brother's 12, okay, when she's trying to give him this talk. She thinks it's, you know, a little too soon, but going to do it anyway. And the first question she asks is like, so do you have any questions about sex? And he like dead silent, totally mortified, doesn't want to do this. And she's just like, I mean, anything. And he's like, well, I mean, do you mean like sex with a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a woman? And my mom goes, you're great. Have fun.
Just, you've got great. Everything you
got
know.
It. You got it. See you later. Yeah. Just, you know.
Mom, how progressive my mom of your brother.
Yeah. Except, well, progressive well, of your brother, but chicken shit of your mom.
Yeah. Chicken shit of my mom. And also, I'm sure my brother had some questions at 12. Like, yeah. Of like, but
who doesn't
yeah.
have questions at 12 about anything?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And my mom just bailed.
She just punted.
She was like, got it. All right, yeah. Okay. You got it. You got it. But you know everything.
So between 2006 to 2010 and 2011 to 2013, there were significant declines in adolescent females' reports of having received formal instruction about birth control, STDs, HIV, and AIDS, and also saying no to sex. There was also a significant decline in adolescent males' reports of having received any formal instruction about birth control, which is reassuring.
I didn't see my first condom until I was like three partners in.
Wow.
Yeah.
The share of adolescents aged 15 to 19 who have received formal instruction about how to say no to sex but received no instruction about birth control methods increased between 2006 to 2010 and 2011 to 2013 from 22% to 28% among females and from 29% to 35% among males. Something that was particularly interesting slash troubling. So declines in formal sex education were most concentrated among young people residing in rural areas where they have nothing but each other to do.
Exactly.
So for example,
or a family member.
For oh my God.
Not again, please.
So, for example, the share of rural adolescents who had received instruction about birth control declined from 71% to 48% among females and from 59% to 45% among males.
These numbers are depressing. Please stop.
I'm sorry. So overall, in 2011 to 2013, 43% of adolescent females and 57% of adolescent males did not receive any information about birth control before they had sex for the first time.
I mean, same.
And there's no evidence that suggests that receiving a certain type of sex ed, abstinence only versus comprehensive, increases or decreases a teen's likelihood to be sexually active.
Of course not. Yeah. Because they're horny teenagers. They're gonna fuck.
Well, like, the justification that people have for not doing comprehensive or only doing abstinence only is that, like, you're teaching kids to have sex, so they're gonna have it more. So it made it safe to say that that's a myth.
That's a total myth.
That is a complete and total myth. I mean, is this... So are these numbers, are they in line with your own... I guess it's in line with all of our experiences with sex ed, considering we didn't really have any formal sex ed.
Disappointing.
Yeah. We mentioned that, like, what was only 13 or something? 13 states require that the information be
what are those
medically
states?
Accurate. Does that necessarily mean that the other states are teaching stuff that's misleading? Or is it just...
They're just not. I think it's... I don't know if it's misleading. I mean... Was I misled with any facts?
Oh, I had so many things that were taught to me that were wrong.
I just didn't have much taught to me. Like, it was mostly say no, mm-hmm. and here's pictures of STDs.
No, I have still had the abstinence only, mostly
in
church, but I had a little bit of it in high school, just a tad.
Wow.
But it was all about, like, STDs and STI, and then when they basically...
Okay, yeah, that's...
They're like, okay, condoms, they're like... okay for pregnancy, and then by the way, like the myth of like HIV can go through latex and shit like that.
Oh, I
totally
yeah.
got that.
I did get that.
Totally
info.
Got that
That's
in school.
True.
Technically, everything that I know about gay sex, I learned mostly from porn. But mm-hmm. there was this one book at Barnes & Noble that I would look at that was like the joy of gay sex, and it yeah. had illustrations.
What?
I mean, ask. The majority of gay men, and I guarantee you, they know of that book.
I don't. I've never
it
heard.
It is a staple.
Marcus, did you?
I have never, but I don't read much.
So I'm 33, and I feel like it's around my age, because like I was around for like the rise of the internet.
It's true. That's very true.
So like people my age, and I would say older than me, and maybe 1 or 2 years younger, like, I guarantee you they know about this book.
Okay.
Because it was before the internet became the go-to for everything.
For everything.
Viewers, prove us right. Prove us wrong. And by us, I just mean Mike.
At BrowserPod.
At BrowserPod.
Are you familiar with the book, The Joy of Gay Sex?
We have to find, like, the cover art or whatever. Like,
if I could have bought it, I would have. But okay. My mother would have found it and thrown it away.
So, Marcus, what was your sex education experience like?
Yeah, it was surprisingly wonderful for someone in the Midwest. Obviously, I learned it from my parents in the beginning, and I kept brushing it off until I would say nothing came from the church.
Yeah.
And I was very Methodist. Too young.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, maybe they approached me as an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old. Like, and then, like, they kept trying every year, and then they kept getting embarrassed and, like, doing a half job.
No.
And then so in fourth grade, my elementary school taught all the girls about the girl body, and then in fifth grade they would teach them about the boy body, and then the boys would have the girls and the boys video in fifth grade.
Cool.
So they taught us all about women's periods, men's growth and hormones and puberty. And then they did a cool one about blood and why not to mix blood with people because
that's a problem.
Like, because of satanic rituals.
They said blood brothers are things. Like, a lot of times people like kids will become blood brothers, like boxcar children style. And they'll do the thing where they smash their fingers together in a promise of brotherhood. And so they told us not to do that as a fifth grader.
Because HIV is a thing.
Not even, I guess.
I think it was just hepatitis. In general, it's like, let's just start it young. Like, blood. let's not do that.
I never got any of that.
Yeah, and then in seventh grade, I had a sex ed class where, surprisingly, a very older woman with a very liberal mindset told us everything. We had the coloring pages of the uterus. We had the videos and all the stuff. But then she had people from Planned Parenthood come in, actually, and teach us about condoms. And they were great because they're like, don't ever let anyone tell you a condom doesn't fit because, and they would roll it up to their elbow.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, it might fit, but it might cut off your circulation.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, later on, you got rings for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Why do we think formal sex ed is on the decline overall? I mean,
because it's terrible.
Well, probably Trump a little bit.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's just part of this whole conservative backlash we have going on, where just, we can tell there's a sea change coming, and so all the conservatives are just no, we can't have that.
I mean, that, but also, why fund something that is terrible and doesn't work?
What I'm saying is that, right now there's more funding going into the shit that doesn't work.
Oh, well, then I blame Betsy DeVos. For literally everything.
Tire? Fuck you, Betsy DeVos.
If we want to get a little conspiracy with it, it could be true, it could be not, but having young adults get entrapped with childcare and keeping them in poverty.
Oh yeah,
keeps the rich rich and the poor poor.
I mean, that's just bordering on some 13th Amendment shit.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, I mean,
systematic.
Yeah, yeah. All of that.
If you don't teach, and it's education in general. If you don't teach the people, they can't grow.
That's very true.
That is true.
That is very true. So, who should here's a question I think we might disagree on.
Okay.
Who should have the final say over what is taught in formal sex ed, and who gets to decide what is developmentally appropriate?
At each age? Assuming that formal sex ed stays what it is.
I think you do because as much as I know, we pretty much got it all from our parents. Like, not every parent is willing to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as is illustrated by a lot of our experiences, not every parent is willing to step up to the plate. And so it's like, if we're going to have a standard base of knowledge for everybody, then you kind of have to make sure that there's a fail safe in case there are parents that don't do their jobs.
Well, then I'm going to say queer people.
Because we know everything.
Well, not only, we're queer people
knowledge.
In general.
Obelisk. You know everything. Obelisk.
Oh, poor Laura.
Ding.
Drag
Ding.
Race. It's a drag race thing.
Yeah, sorry.
But, well, it's like a Paris is Burning meets Drag Race thing.
Yeah, it's...
Oh,
God, that was so good.
Anyways.
That was the Miss Vanjie of this season.
Yes.
I knew that one.
Okay, but...
See,
but,
Vanjie made it into the straight world.
Yeah, made it into the straight world.
No, but we do, for those kids who don't have, parents who can rise to the challenge, I do think we you gotta have some. Hopefully, it's not their first exposure to it.
I'm not even kidding. Like, queer people are more aware. They are more in tune with the world than I would say a lot of cisgendered straight white people, because there are so many facets to sex and to what sex can be,
mm-hmm.
that most cisgendered straight white people are they're not telling anyone.
So you're saying,
or not experiencing.
So only queer people should teach formal sex ed is what you're saying.
Yes.
Every class needs a fairy godfather.
I think
yes.
That's actually great.
I'm just like, all right, okay.
Where's my clack fan? Like, yes.
Just be like, brap. All right, kids, I'm going to teach you things.
I almost brought it.
Yeah, why is it?
I have multiple in my closet if you really want one.
If RuPaul could start just like a side of his podcast that is basically...
sex ed.
Yeah, that is Loveline, but better.
I mean, isn't that what Savage Love is?
Kind of.
It's a queer love line.
It is, basically. Except Dan Savage actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. He does. Although, once you listen to about 5 episodes, you know what he's going to say every time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I guessed it on a column of his for someone had a bi question, and I happily contributed.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Which I realized yesterday that everyone's bi.
Yeah.
I was at a party, and literally... everyone under the age of 23 was bisexual. And I was like, what's happening?
I mean,
what's happening?
Look at what happens.
Like, I love this, but what's happening?
Yeah. It, you know, think of what could happen if people weren't ashamed to embrace who and what they really... Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Yeah. Sound like John Lennon right now.
Yeah, why can't I think it, as far as the question goes of who should have the final say is scientists, people in psychologists, people in child development. Why aren't we listening to these people who have been saying for years that abstinence only sex education is not good?
Is
it's
a myth.
Not it's a complete myth. It doesn't work the way you think it does.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have either an organization that I foresee it could be beautiful if we didn't have Trump in the White House, of having
a national
actually having that be a part of our educational system.
Fair. Although
and
I don't...
regulating it, but... I mean,
our educational system in general needs
exactly.
an overhaul.
Yeah.
One, I think it's important, too, to designate that, like, not every kid is ready at the same time.
Very true.
Because we all develop at different rates.
Yes, and also some of us are brought up in very... sequestered is the only word I can
sheltered
environment where even though my body was ready mentally I was not.
To my parents' credit, for sure, shout out mom and dad if you ever hear this, which hopefully you never do. But you know, they were both proponents of the idea of, like, if you're old enough to ask the question, you're old enough to hear the answer. And I do think it's actually a good thing if a kid gets the birds and the bees talk while it's still a little gross.
Yeah.
While it's still a little like, ugh! So then that way, like, when it first does happen, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, I get how this is appealing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fluids are happening. What?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've established sex ed, a joke. So now that's that kind of... really just into why we're really discussing all that. And as you know, porn is sex ed. I did a little bit of research online. Unfortunately, surprise, surprise, there's not a whole lot of research about underage people watching porn.
What? Weird.
Crazy.
Well, it's like, it's a topic a lot of researchers are kind of uncomfortable with.
Why?
But there's been a handful. Yeah, there's been a handful.
We also don't know when they're lying about the age and everything when they're clicking.
That's true. Yeah, so. It's hard. No, I've read multiple sites that are just like, there needs to be more research on that. Like, straight up in the study, they're like, guys, we need more. We need more on this. But I did see, it was a New York Times article that was all about what teens are learning from online porn, and it was really, really, really helpful. In that, it cited a few studies. So, on average, boys are around 13 and girls are around 14 when they first see pornography. which is according to a researcher at Bryant Paul at the Indiana University's Media School. So you have Pornhub, Xvideos.com, XNXX.com, and BongaCams.com. Those are both. So all of these sites are among the top 100 most frequented websites in the world.
Yeah, I've never heard of Bonger Cams.
I haven't either, but it sounds like it's geared towards our teenagers and it should be shut down.
XNXX is my number one go-to site.
Oh,
it
cool.
is.
Okay.
Oh,
even though it's,
I'm gonna check
it's,
that out.
It's general, all okay. kinds of porn. All
right.
But it's not difficult to find gay porn there.
Pornhub has 80 million visitors a day and has more traffic than Pinterest, Tumblr, or PayPal.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
And here's the other thing. This was kind of alarming. So half as many parents thought their 14 and 18 year olds had seen porn as who had in fact watched it. And depending on the sex act, parents underestimated what their kids have seen by as much as 10 times. So there's a massive gap between what parents think their kids are watching and what they're actually watching.
Which surprises.
There's so many. That's so surprising because so many Lifetime movies telling you that your child is watching a shit ton of porn.
I feel like that is going to change once our people our age, the late 20s, early 30s crowd, their kids reach puberty, like we're all gonna know.
Yeah.
Because we grew up in the rise of the internet age.
Right.
And so we understand what the internet is and what it contains.
Okay.
And so now, like, once, you know, in 10 years, like, once my godson turns 13,
I'm gonna
be very aware of the fact that he will know everything about everything.
But right. also, maybe it'll be like, it probably won't be a big deal. Or they might not be, because it's so known that it's happening, that maybe kids won't really care to watch it anymore. Because there was an appeal because it was taboo and you weren't supposed to be doing it.
Maybe.
Hopefully. I don't know.
Some studies show that a small number of teens who watch higher rates of porn engage in earlier sex, as well as gender stereotyping, and sexual relationships that are less affectionate than their peers. It's worth noting, though, that this could be correlation and not causation.
Yes, exactly. I think
meaning like there's fewer displays of like kissing and hugging
sort of thing. I don't know that that's true. It could be
correlation and not causation. Yeah. It could be like those type of people are just more inclined.
But I also feel like generally as like the people that I meet day to day are more affectionate than people that I used to meet a long time ago.
Well, and I live by a high school. I'm still seeing kids ducking around like the side of my building making out. And I'm like, oh, it's so cute. Please don't fuck near my building.
not even just fucking. I feel like affection is shown, like it's more acceptable now. Mm-hmm. Even like,
but in a protected way.
So. Even male-male affection, female-female, male-female. Non-binary, everything, like, it's...
But if I don't know you, don't touch me, like...
Well, maybe.
But
well,
also, like, the minute you meet somebody, like, 20 minutes of conversation, I'm comfortable now hugging you. Unless you're a weirdo.
Unless you're a weirdo, yeah.
There's one more. Okay, so in a study that one of the researchers carried out in 2016 of 72 high schoolers aged 16 and 17, teenagers reported that porn was their primary source for information about sex, more than friends, siblings, schools, or parents, or healthcare providers. So, yeah, they're basically reporting that's their primary source of information.
I mean, Marcus, you were almost a teen. You just passed being a teenager in 2016.
But his experience was very atypical, though, it sounds like, as far as this study is concerned.
I have no clue, though, because, you know, everything is kind of growing exponentially when you come to after the internet is, you know, has happened.
Mm.
So... You know, what I was taught probably wasn't what people 2 years or 4 years before me were taught. Not even people 10 years before me were taught. So it's hard to gauge where that happened until we are all actually communicating about it.
That's why
it's so important to begin, you know, making studies as far as, like, I don't know how many studies into sex ed there are these days.
There's not much other than there's a lack thereof. That's really it.
I mean, we can find research about it, but I would love to learn, like, I would love to see hypothesis, theses, you know, just scientists going at it.
It's really going at it. I love to watch scientists go.
Where scientists are going at it. I mean,
That's true.
Would you say that porn has been influential in your development as a sexually active adult?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah. I think like...
I mean, hands on my cock, really.
I think that can be good and bad if it's the only place you're getting your information from. I think that's shit. Because it depends on what you're watching. If you're watching porn educational, like porn sex educational videos, maybe you're not, learning things.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's...
But if you're purely watching like BDSM at like 14,
yeah,
like I think your expectations are going to be a little weird when you can't find rope in that is going to be good for your significant other's arms.
I literally had a friend
when
I turned 18. Because I turned 18 in September of my senior year of high school.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to go to Adam and Eve.
Oh.
The brick and mortar store.
Ooh.
Not just adamandeve.com.
Wait, I didn't even know they had brick and mortar.
St. Augustine, Florida, honey.
Heck.
Wow. I did not know that.
I don't know if it's still there, but it was.
Mm.
I was able to go.
Of course it's still there because now, you know, online they're great.
I mean, St. Augustine is still there.
There's a Romantics
like
around the corner
colony
from my house. So, I literally went in there and bought BDSM rope.
Wow.
For my friend.
Wow.
Who was into that with her boyfriend.
At 18.
And she was 17. He was 19, I think.
Uh-oh.
Florida!
It was... They're not still together.
But I'm glad he got the right rope.
But
so
like, that was a thing.
Burns.
It was. They knew that they were into that.
I mean,
that age.
Well, could
and
that...
her parents... were like, they were the lockdown kind of parents.
Ooh.
And they
it's like Jurassic Park. It's like Jurassic Park. Life finds a way.
Like, they were the kind of parents that was like, I love her parents dearly. I was not allowed into her bedroom.
Oh, because
even
you're gonna...
Even though they knew I was gay.
Just having a penis in that room is...
just a no.
I mean, oh she had a princess canopy and everything.
Oh my God. I mean, that's a
Freud
good thing to tie ropes to, though. Like, that's a really good thing. I'm glad. I'm proud for her.
I mean, okay, but could porn be the only place that kids are getting these messages? Because I also... Here's the thing. I'm seeing more sexual messaging everywhere. Like, it's not that I'm seeing porn. I mean, I'm watching porn about as all, like, I'm still watching porn at the same rates I was when I was a teenager. But I'm also seeing, like, choke me daddy, people saying that on Twitter and in the comments on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I feel, and nowadays, especially in my comments, like, I'll post a video of me in a leather harness and in the comments, they're like, choke me daddy. And I'm like, how old are you?
Yeah.
I'm like, please tell me
you're
going
to start having to make your Instagram private soon.
I don't post anything explicit, but I'll say something like,
but
if you're a submissive, you know, just let me know and maybe we can arrange something, whatever. and there's been at least a couple instances where I'm like, how old are you? And they're like, I'm 16, I'm 17. And I'm like, nope.
No.
What if, I do wonder if it's not necessarily porn emerging as like, it's... as the reason for that, what if that's more 50 Shades? 50 Shades opened the door.
50 Shades, yeah.
And it let everything out.
Sabrina, the Netflix show.
Yeah.
Yes, but also like 50 Shades is...
is bad for a number of...
Yeah.
50 Shades especially needs to fuck off, like, because...
It is a bad representation of the BDSM community,
for sure. Yes, it's terrible.
But were we hearing about BDSM before 50 Shades? Like,
no,
truly
like,
hearing
I mean,
about it?
It popped, somebody,
other
it
than,
popped. It's
yeah.
like... Using,
in a mainstream market.
Using 50 Shades to learn about BDSM is
yeah.
like using Real Housewives
yeah.
to learn about housewives.
I'm just saying that. I think that, yeah.
Fundamentally,
it's like watching Desperate Housewives to learn about housewives.
I'm saying I think that porn has been less of an influencer on, like, it's kept that ball rolling.
Okay.
And people have like been like, oh, this is problematic. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go find it here. And like going towards porn, which can be good or not, depending on what you're watching, because there's so much of it.
Yeah, you can literally find everything. It's rule 34.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. So in light of this information, in light of the fact that there are a lot of people getting information from porn, does that mean that the porn industry bears any responsibility when it comes to the messaging that they might be sending out to teens? I think about I think about the law where they were in California, they're trying to mandate condom use in porn. And one of the reasons that they're using to justify it is that like there are people using porn to like learn about sex.
And I mean, I voted against that law. And
I did too. Well, actually, no, I didn't vote in that election, but
it didn't pass.
I voted against it, like for the amount of times that I've had like sex with a condom for like over, more than 4 times in one day, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I would never wish that on anyone. Or, like,
say that again.
How my vagina was torn apart from like just latex. Like if you like more than 4 times, like with someone who's wearing a condom.
Mm-hmm. You had sex with the same person 4 times in one day.
Yeah,
I've done that. Not with a condom, but
yeah. Well, like if they stayed over and we've had breakfast.
Sex with somebody multiple times with a condom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if they stayed over and we had breakfast, 4 is like the bare number. But after about 4, I'm like, okay, I don't want a condom anymore. You're good, right?
Great. Yeah.
Which
why
yeah,
do you think
sorry,
I got so, girl? Why do you think I got so good at cooking brunch?
Because
I want them to stay over.
I'm like,
I cooked y'all brunch. I gave y'all the.
And I didn't eat a lot of it, but what I ate was delicious.
There's a reason I got really good at cooking brunch, and that is because when it's good, I want them to stay. I want to keep, you know, come for the dick and stay for the food.
Can I actually pose a question to the question that you answered earlier about is the porn industry responsible for this? I would like to say, should sex ed be responsible to educate people on the topics of today?
Yeah, I think we should.
Of course.
Yeah.
So if more kids are getting into bondage at 14, I think the sex ed should be reflective of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think
We should have a lawsuit. If I would have gotten pregnant or AIDS, I think I would have sued.
If I had gotten pregnant or AIDS.
Which is the same
spectrum.
Thing.
Spectrum. Oh my God.
I mean, it could have been a death sentence for me at certain times in my life.
I mean, it stays with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it could have been a death sentence, an actual death sentence. So, because I just would have died. I would have killed myself. So, I would have sued the fuck out of my school district. Like, that's...
For not teaching you?
For not teaching me.
Has that happened? God, that happened?
It should. I think it should. I really need it to happen.
That would be pretty cool. Well, and I do think in a world where there is proper sex ed, we don't have... we don't have to worry about porn. Like, and I think part of sex ed should be porn literacy. I think it should be teaching people to be consumers of this and knowing that, like, everything that you see is meant to be fantasy.
Maybe I should
do a
lawsuit.
There is information to be gained from it, but it's not.
Maybe
they should
I should do
be
a lawsuit
teaching porn
for,
in sex ed.
Yeah. Maybe I should do a lawsuit because I was raped in college. Maybe I should do a lawsuit against my school district and my school for not giving proper sex education of consent.
Don't do it with this Supreme Court, but maybe, you
know. Oh, God.
That's where the hashtag MeToo movement should be going, in my
opinion. So can porn be the only thing that influences your perceptions of sex when you're young? Or are there other things?
There's so many things that influence
ads,
how
too.
You view sex.
Yeah.
There's ads, there's television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're getting television into a much more sex-positive world in television. You know, I'm specifically thinking of How to Get Away with Murder, where like
any Shondaland show,
basically
all the Shonda shows,
all of the sex happens.
I mean, even celebrities are still influencers. I mean, I was influenced by Angelina Jolie and her freedom to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was just a little bit fake, who cares?
She is one of the few women that I was like, I will definitely have sex with her if she wants it.
Is your sexuality only mutable when you're young, or can that change when you're older? Because that's the thing.
I
feel like
absolutely changed.
I feel like porn can always have an influence on your sex.
Yeah.
And not just porn. Like,
that's
there's
true.
A lot of things
all the
that
representations,
have representations, sexual partners that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
my aversion to condoms really came...
It came from porn?
No, came from a specific partner that I had.
Oh, I see.
And that informed a lot of how I go about my life now.
Mm-hmm.
And then that influenced my porn viewing.
Yeah, life imitates art, art imitates life.
Of course. So now, you know, if I see condoms in porn,
you're taken out of it.
I'm a little bit turned off.
Wow. Okay.
Wait,
so,
did the condom get lost inside him all the time? I mean, there is
no
hell.
No,
deeper hell than a condom stuck inside of
you. No, I was with a partner
you.
Who fetishized bareback.
There should be no concern about a condom getting stuck in anal intercourse because everything's designed to come out eventually. Everything. So if it doesn't come out at one point, it's going to come out at another.
That's true. Valid.
Like,
yeah.
Literally,
no, ours can stay in for forever.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
vagina.
No load stays in you forever. As much as, you know, we like to pretend sometimes.
Yeah. I'm just taking a break from any form of straight sex so that I can just clean out the years of sperm.
You need sage. You need to sage your vagina.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just had a vision of like a lit sage.
I have a smudge kit of sage over
there.
I mean,
some things should not be used for a dildo, and maybe it's a smudge.
I'm not
smudger.
Saying you should shove it. I'm saying let's waft some smoke up there.
Oh. Sage, you can't use this as lube.
Sage, you can't use this as a lube or dildo. Should
teens be able to access porn in the first place? I'm back and forth on this.
I am too. And it's because every teen is different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Every sperm is sacred. Like
every sperm is great.
At 14,
okay,
I was ready for porn.
Mm-hmm. You were so...
I was too.
My body is ready.
My body was ready.
I was ready at 12.
Not everyone is.
Yeah.
There are innocent children, bless them.
there are some sweet babies that we want to keep sheltered. And we love them.
Precious
but
little
they
cinnamon
also,
buns.
But also, like, the innocents need to know the tea. So, like... Age restrictions for me are a weird thing because, like, I don't have children and I never will.
But if
I were to have that situation happen, I literally do not know at what age I would.
See,
it depends on their development.
I think for me, I'm like, it's not an age. I just know that I don't want porn to be a kid's first exposure to sex. You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure they get the birds and the bees while they still think that sex is gross so that they have at least some sort of academic baseline, and then that way they can approach the remainder of their...
Like, I'm going to refer to Dan Savage again because he, like, talks about, like, Olympic-level sex or, like, one-star level. Like, there are certain sex acts that are, like, not your generic missionary
up and
thing.
Down.
You know, there's kinks, there's, you see in porn the pile driver, that who the fuck would do that in real life?
Wait, the pile driver,
like, is
which one?
Handstands?
Oh, it's the one where, at least in gay porn.
In gay, yeah.
Where one guy is...
Oh, is it shoulder standing?
He's on his back is like against like a couch or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's shoulder standing and he's like up and down, and then the top is like basically horizontal.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
we did that. We had that in freshman year. That was a big thing. That was like in my time. That was eating ass. Was if you could do a handstand and get fucked.
That's
what
not
you were
eating,
doing.
No, my God, that's not even...
That was the thing. No,
that's
like...
not even close.
You know, no, I'm talking about how in memes and in internet culture now, everyone's talking about, eating ass is so great. For me in college, that was it. Like, if you handstands and fucking was huge. It's a terrible thing.
Like,
but
that
you know,
is like
great.
No one does that in real life because, for one thing, it looks uncomfortable for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it, it's cool. But
like, I'm a fan of unconventional sex positions. But that particular one is like a thing that's like, I don't want people to think that is normal.
That's a real thing. Are there any particular porn videos that were very, like, instrumental in your development as a sexually active adult? I mean, I can think of ones that were influential, but not necessarily because they depicted an act.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
There wasn't a video that taught me anything necessary. Like, it wasn't any one video in particular that taught me something I know.
Correct. There, I cannot think of a single video that I learned something from.
Yeah.
But there are definitely videos that I'll see surface on a website now and then. I go, I remember that from 10 years ago.
For sure. Well,
and I will totally watch that.
I remember, like, the fact that I was like, why are so many guys eating ass in porn? Like, I can't tell you the first video I saw where a guy ate ass, but I could tell you that I was seeing it so often. I'm like, why? why is this something that's...
Because it's pleasurable for both parties.
Well, no shit. Well, now I'm like, if you top and you don't eat ass, then you're weak and natural selection is coming for you. Because, like...
Same, yes.
What the fuck? Like, you're... I don't... There's
the
no
only
excuse.
The only time I won't eat ass is if I put a finger down there and I bring it to my nose and I smell something I shouldn't.
That's very true. Obviously, we all like to pretend that we're always taking pure for men, we're always ready, but, like, sometimes shit happens.
It's okay. It's the people who think that they're ever ready that are always the problem for me.
There is... Okay, so this is one that I definitely want to kind of close out with. Okay. So you have both abstinence-only sex ed and porn distort sex.
Yes.
To a certain extent.
Yes.
Granted, they do it in drastically different ways, both distort sex.
Correct.
Which is worse? Which form of distortion is more sinister, is more
sex
harmful?
Ed.
You think so?
Abstinence only exacerbates a problem that people end up pregnant.
Okay.
Because they are misinformed.
Okay.
And they are not ready to be pregnant.
Oh, that's very true.
I mean, in my opinion, straight people should have to apply to be pregnant the way that gay people do.
Well, I feel like they should have to undergo the same medical hoops that we have to jump through.
Exactly.
STI testing every 3 months, blood tests, urine.
I'm sorry, women go through just enough of, like, we can't get our own tubes tied without a male's consent age.
I was more referring to men. Like, yeah. straight men should have to undergo what queer men go through to be sexually active.
Oh, yes, got you.
For sure. They should be on PrEP.
Oh.
They should be trotted into a doctor's office every 3 months to get a full panel, poked with needles, swabbed in the ass.
Oh, this is... But this
urine
is like,
samples, the
but
works.
Who's regulating that you have to do this?
I don't...
I
will.
Each other. Yeah.
The Marcus, community.
Each other.
Marcus will just be...
So as women, as straight women and straight men should be, we should be forcing this on each other.
I think medical professionals should be like saying this is what you should be, like that should be just the standard. That should be the medical standard.
I mean, the fact that queer people, if they want to have children, have to jump through 1,000 hoops where... Billie Jean and Joe Bob can have 18 children.
And there's no...
Is a problem for me.
Yeah.
But I do think the distortion that happens in sex is also pretty harmful, in the sense that if you look at, like, the standard shot from the male point of view...
Yes.
I think that is also...
Especially straight porn.
Especially because we did this whole thing. We did a whole spiel on the lesbian episode about how, porn from the straight male gaze is also harmful in its own way.
And I had a friend who was like, I'm going to listen to that episode specifically because I am a lesbian, and I don't like lesbian porn.
Oh, it's the worst. So it's like, I do think that
it did teach me how to masturbate better, though. Like, watching, like, I've got to say, like, after years of, like, being kind of, like, annoyed that, like, oh, I don't look like a porn star when I fuck. But then if I pretend that I'm a porn star when I'm masturbating and, like, feel myself, man, that's a really great tip, everybody. If you act like a porn star while you're masturbating, I get off. It's wonderful. It's a great time.
Look at yourself in the mirror, American Psycho style.
Oh my God. I'm never going to look at myself in the mirror while I'm masturbating.
Put a blindfold on. Have a fun day.
I love that idea of pretending you're a porn star while you're masturbating. I might try
that
later.
Yeah, do it. It's very fun.
Just Buffalo Bill yourself right in the mirror. Yeah. So, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me hard.
Very Patrick Bateman.
Right, exactly. But so you do think abstinence only, as far as it's...
I think that is worse. Okay. I think abstinence only is worse because there's a lack of education.
As opposed to
porn, where it's like you're seeing things that you might never do.
Exactly. In my opinion, it's abstinence only is less information. Porn is more information.
But
so
still,
like,
and sometimes too much information.
Too much information. I think too much information is far, far better and more constructive to build something on than a foundation of nothing.
I guess, it is easier to be like, hey, remember that thing you saw? This is why it's inaccurate.
Exactly.
I mean, I have had sexual partners who were like, let's recreate this video. Mm-hmm. That is fun
it's
sometimes.
Fun, yeah. And then also you can realize that it's like, oh, I don't like this. Like I used to do it with this softcore porn on HBO. I used to love of like, it was like a Christmas
or Skinamax.
One. Yeah. It was like this Christmas one where she was wrapped up in like, you know, like,
wrapping paper.
Yeah. And like he cut it out and like, or then like while they were fucking, like it like ripped off. And I tried that with one of my exes and it was terrible. Like,
yeah, that's not
terrible. It wasn't fun. It
honey,
was annoying.
Honey, I could have told you that ahead of time.
Yeah, but I was like 23.
The anti-Santa porn.
I was 23 and broke, and like I got him like Lowe's gift cards and like taped them to my boobs. So and then like wrapped myself in gift paper. It was terrible.
It's kind of like the Happy Birthday, Mr. President dance.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Merry Christmas.
You're my present this year.
You're my present. I just want to fuck my brother.
That's gonna be a thing.
I have shown that to so many people
it's
in the last
great.
Few weeks.
It's my favorite. I love it.
It is. Okay, so right. All of this has been extremely educational, I think. Mm-hmm. But before we head out, let's have one more word from our sponsors.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Can Laura J Come to That?
Mozzarella sticks.
Yes, I come to it.
Floor-to-ceiling windows.
Yes, coming.
Tassels on your curtain pullers.
Yes, definitely coming.
Spinach, goat cheese, and sun-dried tomato quiche.
It's delicious. I came. Of course. That's why I'm sitting on my hoodie.
This has been another edition of Can Laura J Come to That?
I come to everything.
Laura J can come to that.
Ring, 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 ring. Guess that bell means that class is over, so that's going to do it for this on this episode.
Does that mean I have to take off my schoolgirl uniform?
Does this mean I have to stop trying to fuck my teacher?
Browser History is produced and engineered by the adorable Marcus Andre. Do you like being called adorable every week?
You can call me whatever you want, but adorable's not bad.
Yes, wait, I know. I was like, do you like adorable?
The
How
handsome,
do you feel about that?
The ravishing.
The ravishing.
Keep them
the
coming.
The steely Dan Marcus Andre. It's also researched and written by the three of us.
Don't forget to rate us wherever you get your podcasts so we can find new listeners. And also be sure to tell your friends and followers if you like us. You can also find us on social media at BrowserPod as well as each of us individually. I am at DammitRJ.
I'm at Bike Mowers.
And I'm at the.laura.j.
We'll be back to school you some more in just 2 short weeks. Until then, dance like no one's watching, love like you've never been hurt, fuck like you don't need the money, and don't forget
to clear your browser history.